love this song. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. He's here.
Who? What, Santa?
I should hope not.
Already? It's early.
It is the final Happy Club of... the final Happy Club of 2014. Oh. No, it's not ever. Shut up. I'm joined in the studio by Peter Jones, writer of 3.5 self-help books. I don't know why you say that. On subjects of happiness, yep, weight control and dating. And his latest book, The Good Guy's Guide to Getting the Girl, is a fiction. And that is out now. I've got a copy of it. I'm reading through it at the moment. I've also got another one of your books on the go. And I'm reading Steve Brookstein's book. And I'm reading Gone Girl. I've got quite a few on the go at the moment. So you're not to get the stories
get mixed up.
Yeah. It's sometimes like, wasn't there a murder in the weight loss story? So, Peter, thank you for coming in today. It's lovely to see you.
It's lovely to see you too.
You brought in some Fox's biscuits and your biscuits.
Yeah, I don't know whether we're going to get to the biscuits.
I might do, actually. I'm pretty hungry. And you brought me in a lovely present as well, which I'm going to open at home. Is it chocolate? It's all excited. He went, no, so I know it's a book. But I still like books because I do. Is it chocolate? No. And you've been you've sampled one of my Belgian buns as well.
That was, yeah,
you've
delicious.
Nibbled it.
I have.
You've eaten
it.
Yours, and
it's
I've
gone.
Nibbled around mine.
Yeah, I'm stuffed now. That's me for the rest of the day.
It's the icing, you see. I like icing.
It's the cherry on the top.
Isn't it always? Mm. I had a Stollen cake the other day, which I thought was...
Stollen cake?
Stollen.
Oh, Stollen.
Which has
Stollen.
Got... I didn't realise it had marzipan in it, and right. I literally nearly threw up.
Do you not like marzipan?
No, not really. Wedding cake's always got it, and it's like, no... I love it.
I love mine. It's the best bit.
Oh, no, most filial. I don't know, what is it? Is it almonds?
Yes.
But I like almonds.
Right.
So I don't understand what happened.
It's a mystery.
There we go. Now, this is a theme mystery. Sorry, that was a long introduction.
you played the whole tune.
I
there.
Have. Yeah. But I must say that we were the first people probably to actually play that song back in, well, when you first started on the show. And that was your theme tune then.
Yep, and as a result, we sent it to number one.
We certainly did.
Yep.
Now, you write loads of books. Just to give a little bit of background on yourself before we start on today's chosen subjects. Tell us everybody, why you got into writing, how long you've been writing for, and your titles of your books.
Why I got into writing was just because I just really used to love it, enjoy it, and it was a hobby. And I used to do that in my 20s, and used to go to a writing class here in Brentwood.
Yeah.
Run by Adele Ramette, I used to write short stories, science fiction short stories, that sort of thing.
Oh, I want to read some of those. Have you published
them?
They're
rubbish.
Oh no, I love sci-fi. I'm a sci-fi geek. I'd love to read.
I never thought of you as a
Trekkie.
Oh,
I love. Yeah, I do. I love. Right. Yeah, sci-fi is my thing. I say it all the time. You don't even listen to my show, do you? How rude.
Well, in Southend, it's quite difficult to get.
I don't care. We'll stand out on the roof with an antenna.
Yeah,
antenna?
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I'm not really. I'm letting the side down.
Listen online. Get on with it.
Anyway, I stopped writing in by the time I got to my 30s, and then I met my wife Kate, and she was sorting through some files and some papers, and she found my short stories, and she read them, and then she found a silly poem that I'd written, and she roared with laughter and said, "I like your short stories." Because she likes science fiction as well.
Yeah.
And they're okay. But she said this funny poem is really good. And it's got lots of personality. It's got your humour and that sort of stuff. And what you ought to do is combine the two things together. And so she started me on the writing thing again. So
yep.
That's when I started. And that was like about 10 years ago. And that's when I started working on the novel, which has only just come out.
Which is, I always get this wrong, The Good Guy's Guide
to Getting the Girl.
That is hard to say, isn't it? Did you realise that when you actually gave the title? Or is it just me being a bit stupid?
I don't think it's hard to say. You just need 10 years practice. The Good Guy's Guide to Getting the Girl. See, rolls off your tongue.
And how are sales of that book doing? Because it's been out...
Yes, right. When it came out, it went straight into the top 20 of... top 10. It was at number 9 of women's humorous... fiction.
Yep.
Which was amazing. I couldn't believe it. I was up there with the likes of Helen Fielding and I was astonished. And it went up there and it was there for about a week and a bit, and then it sort of started to sort of like, you know, settle down the cycles, and it's sort of like, it's ticking over.
Yep.
Ticking over nicely. But I set myself a goal to get that book back into the top 20.
Yeah.
By December, and I have completely failed. But
thought you were going to say, the good news is, I've completely failed.
No, but that is the point with goals, is that when you set yourself goals, you should really try and set them so they're slightly out of reach, so that you push yourself. And this year has been all about setting goals, and I've been working very hard. As well as the Good Guys Guide to Getting the Girl, obviously, I wrote two more self-help books this year. There was How to Start Dating and Stop Waiting.
Which is a brilliant book. I've read that.
Have you?
Yes.
Really? There you go. And that's like the biggest book I've written so far. That's a massive
book. At least A4 size. A5, yeah. Oh, sorry, you're talking about the pages. Yes. I'm sorry.
That came out February the 14th.
I've just got a vision in my head of like a book that's like just so big you can't actually open the page. I'm sorry, stupid.
And then shortly on the back of that, around about exactly the same time, I wrote the companion guide to that book called From Invisible to Irresistible.
Yes.
Which is my shortest book. That's a short, quirky, and in fact, of all my self-help books, I think that's my favourite one.
I like it. I've read that as well. Yeah. So I've got one on my bed. It used to have a signed picture of you as well there, but that's gone.
Oh, you got rid of that?
Oh, no, okay. I don't know what happened. I think I hoovered it. You by the Hoover. Sorry.
So three books came out this year, and when you're a full-time author, people say to me, you know, do you prefer being called writer and author? And I used to sort of think, also sounded better, but in actual fact, the reason why I prefer being called author is because writing is just a really small part of the author gig.
Yeah,
there's an awful lot more to it. You have to do a lot of publicity and plugging and promotion, so an awful lot this year has gone into just plugging the books and doing interviews and tweeting and Facebook and doing talks at women's institutes and those sort of things. And it's been a lot of hard work, and I'm not complaining about being an author. I love being an author. Okay, it's my dream job, but it is, you know, don't kid yourself, it's not particularly well paid, and it is quite a lot of hard work. And I got to the end of this year, around about Octoberish, and I realised that, you know, I wasn't feeling particularly happy anymore. I was, you know, beginning to feel a bit jaded, and I realised that what I'd done over the past year is put an awful lot of energy into creating the life I want and not a lot of energy into enjoying the life that I actually have. And this is a mistake which people often make when they come on workshops that I run, my happiness workshops. You find that, you know, that sometimes you meet people who've done this very thing.
Yeah.
You know, an awful lot of time spending trying to build that dream life, you know, and you can spend your life doing that. You can, you know, me and Kate did that. We spent an awful lot of time just working towards goals, trying to get ourselves to a point where, you know, where we were making a living without having to be there to do it, you know. And as you know, time ran out for Kay. Mm. You know, I lost her 6 years ago now. Yeah. And I wish we'd spent a lot more time sort of just enjoying ourselves.
Yeah.
And so this year I thought, I'm doing it again. I'm blooming doing it again. So the last...
But at least you got to the point where you went, hold on a minute, I'm doing it again, stop. You didn't carry on.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you have to do that. You have to say, if anybody out there has got to a point in their life where they're thinking, I am not particularly happy. I'm not talking depressed necessarily or you're miserable or anything like that. Just a bit like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just a bit meh.
You just did it over my cake.
Sorry about that. You know, if you get to that point, then you have to, at that point, you have to stop and think, I need to change this. I need to do something about it. Okay. If you're not happy, change something. If you're happy, leave things as they are. Life isn't really that tricky. So the first thing I did was I went back to my basic principles of happiness, which is, figure out what it is that makes you smile. Do more of those things.
Yeah.
So I looked at my now list, which is what I call a bucket list, and I had a bit of a shifty round. And one of the things on the bucket list or now list was see more theatre, because I love theatre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to belong to a theatre company here in Essex, and you know, I used to go to theatre quite a lot, and I really miss it.
Yeah.
So in the last few weeks and months, I've been to see about nine productions or and the weirdest things ever. I went to see an improvised puppet show at the Vaults underneath Waterloo Station. That was interesting. So no script, no nothing, a couple of puppets, they made it up as they went along.
Yep. Or you could have been out heavy drinking and he just turned up and just sort of had some sort of horrible hallucination. There's no theatre there at all.
It wasn't. Well, yeah. It's a very strange theatre, yeah. I have to say. And I went to Battersea Arts Centre as well and saw the strangest thing I've ever seen, which is basically three half-naked people rolling around in mud, throwing bits of food at each other. That was a little bit odd. That was a bit out there.
Phoenix FM Christmas party all over again.
But I've seen an awful lot of theatre. I went to see 39 Steps as well at the Criterion in London. If you want to treat your loved one to a trip to the theatre or something like that in the new year, thoroughly recommend it. It's absolutely brilliant. It's a comedy. That took me a bit by surprise. I thought 39 Steps was like a thriller, a Hitchcock sort of thriller. But actually, it's a comedy. And, that was great. And so I've been doing an awful lot of that.
Yeah.
And in about 2 or 3 days' time, or a day after Christmas Day, I'm going to be having a Boxing Day, which now... Everybody knows what Boxing Day is, and this isn't Boxing Day. This is a Boxing Day.
Which we are going to go into in a bit more detail after a little break.
Okay.
And you can explain about Boxing Day. But it's not the Boxing Day as you know it.
No.
This is Peter's Boxing Day.
Okay.
But it's not just Peter's, because he wants you to know about it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
There we go.
Okay.
I'm going to make you sound like you're some sort of... It's Peter's Boxing Day, it's not yours.
Yeah,
but we were talking about it here.
Yeah, it's copyrighted.
Lovely. I'm glad I did cover up the cake when you made that horrible noise earlier.
Sorry.
And I'm really funny with that. You know what, I'm the sort of person, if we were having something to eat, and we did do this thing, we went to Catherine's Supper Club, which was fantastic. Mustard Seed Chef. Yeah. You were there, and I started singing disco, and you ran out.
I did.
But we were eating. That woman had her hand on your leg. I don't know what happened there. Yeah. No,
she had a few drinks.
She had.
She was a very nice lady.
She was a lovely lady, but hand and leg, and I was laughing. But I couldn't. If somebody said to me, "Taste this off of their fork."
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Did I do that?
No, you didn't. I'm just saying. It's just phlegm or stuff that you might have breathed onto my food. Or if somebody said, "Oh, have a bit of this off my fork," I'd be like, "No."
Okay.
No, just so
top
you know.
Tip.
Top tip.
Well, the whole of Brentwood now knows.
Oh, I don't like phlegm. There we go.
Yeah.
Right, shall we? I'll do some travel now.
Okay.
Phoenix FM.
I apologise. Yes, it's free electric blanket testing on Wednesday the 21st between 10 and 2. And basically, if you're a lot of elderly people, not
that's
even
a great
elderly,
idea.
Because they are one of those things.
They can be dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a
I
really
feel very warm.
Idea.
That's because you're on fire.
Yeah.
Very cheerful. There we go. But you can have it tested.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Now, we're joined in the studio by author.
Yeah.
Peter Jones.
Hey.
Writer of happiness books, weight loss books, dating books, and The Good Guy's Guide to Getting the Girl.
Which isn't self-help and is a novel. A work of fiction.
I was just going to finish that.
I know.
That's a good breath.
I really didn't think that through. I really should. You know, having written 3 self-help books, 3 and a half self-help books, and then you bring out a novel and you call it something that sounds like self-help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it is a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah,
but,
it is.
You know.
Yeah. But never mind.
Never mind.
It's done now.
It's done, and it's out there to buy. Yeah. Don't forget, go onto Amazon.
Yeah.
You can get it on Amazon, on your website, all the W's. Yeah. Peter Jones Auth.
PeterJonesAuth.com.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
It's Peter Jones Auth on...
Peter Jones Auth on Twitter, because...
I thought it was Auth.
Yeah, it's Peter Jones Auth on Twitter. Because there aren't enough letters on Twitter.
Oh, right.
That's why.
Oh, right.
Yeah, otherwise it would have been Peter... If it's Instagram, it's Peter Jones Auth.
Oh. Have you got a load of pictures then I can look at?
Yeah. Yeah, but there'll be a picture of you later on with your Chelsea buns.
They're a little bit burnt and a bit shriveled up, but, you know, I think they're a bit old. That's why my Chelsea buns are not looking the best.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes,
what happens in your household on Boxing Day?
On Boxing Day, I should be sat there on my own.
Yeah.
It's a cue of the sad music. And then I will be having a little whatever's left over from the Christmas Day with friends. And then I will be doing a gig. So
a gig on Boxing Day?
On Boxing Day evening,
cool.
Yeah. So, but I will be kind of quite, sort of flouncing around.
So you're out and chill out and then the gig in the evening. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, Boxing Day in our household used to be a rerun of Christmas Day. Although there was another roast turkey, more Christmas pudding. There was, even another round of presents when we were very young.
Mm.
Yeah, I know.
Mm.
And basically it was, and that's how it's always been in my family. It's always been a rerun of Christmas Day until my wife, Kate, came along. And she said, You know, no, when we get to Boxing Day, you know, we've done it, we've done it, all the shopping, we've done, you know, we've gone around to all the friends and the family, we've, you know, we need a break now, we need time off. We'll get, Boxing Day is our day, and so it became our day, and we used to get up, like, and open a bottle of champagne, and look at our gifts from the day before, and then play silly board games, and go for a walk, and it was, quite frankly, a lovely day. The first Boxing Day that Kate and I spent together, I ended up proposing to her. I know. That gives you some idea how good Boxing Day made me feel about life. And there hasn't been a Boxing Day since that hasn't given me that similar inner glow, that similar vibe for life. And I talk with some, you know, I can say that hand on heart because I've had Boxing Day at least 800 times since then. Because that first year after Kate passed away, my mother, who's a little bit concerned for me over the Christmas season, said, "Would you like to come over to our place for Boxing Day? You know, and have an old-fashioned rerun of Christmas Day, Boxing Day, as we used to." And I said, "You know what? I think I'd rather do what Kate and I used to do." So I got up late and I opened a bottle of champagne and I looked at my gifts from the day before, and then I went for a little walk down at Old Lee, and I looked out at the boats resting in the mud, and I went home and I wrote down some thoughts and did some planning. And by the end of the day, I felt like I'd had a week's holiday, and all I'd done was get up that morning and see how the day unfolded and just do whatever I felt like doing, whatever the opportunity present, whatever opportunities presented themselves. And I ended up at the end of that day thinking, isn't it a shame that Boxing Day is only once a year? I could do with a Boxing Day once a month. At which point I thought to myself, well, why can't I? What's to stop myself having the same sort of structure or lack of structure on any other day of the year? Answer, nothing. So ever since that day, I've had Boxing Day once a month. It's not always on the 26th. You know, I sometimes I move it around. But I do have a Boxing Day on average once a month. And there have been, you know, really good Boxing Days when I achieved that holiday feeling by the end of the day. And, you know, less good Boxing Days when I didn't quite have that holiday feeling. But I've never been unsuccessful Boxing Days, days when I felt somehow more stressed at the end of the day than the beginning. And it's a day that really works for me. And I think as you get older, because often I do this talk, I do my talks, and you know, if there's anybody under the age of 30 there, they look at me and say, "Well, haven't you just reinvented Saturday?" But you know, it's like as you get older, and especially when you've got responsibilities and children and family and all that sort of stuff, Saturday becomes the day when you do chores and you go to the shops and you know, and that malarkey. Sunday, it's often a rerun of Saturday. Before you know it, all of your time is spent planned and doing other things, and there is no time left for you. And so Boxing Day is the antidote to that. Boxing Day is a day when you've carved out one day in the diary, you put it in your diary and you say, that day I've got no plans and I'm just going to get up and see how the day unfolds and do whatever I feel like doing. So there you go. It's my little gift to your listeners.
And if you've got, you know, say, well, I can't, I've got children, but you can always ask somebody to look after your children. You can. You normally have somebody that you can say, actually, can they stay at a friend's house on Saturday night? So, or my mother can come over and take them for a few hours, so I can have that, even if it's not a full day.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I put Boxing Day. Boxing Day is the first idea that's in How to Do Everything and Be Happy. And after the first edition of How to Do Everything and Be Happy came out, I had, like, readers writing to me, and most of them were mums, and they said, "I love your book, but Boxing Day just doesn't work if you're a mum, because you know you've got kids and family and the like." And so I was like, "Blimey, what do I do about this?" And so I contacted the author Keris Stanton, who writes for Mumsnet and for The Guardian, I think, and she's got two young children, lovely boys. One of them's got special needs, and I thought, if anybody, because she's a big fan of How to Do Everything and Be Happy, I thought, if anybody knows and make Boxing Day work, if you're a busy mum, then it will be her. And she came back to me and said, she said she didn't really have any sort of like special advice, any sort of like extra special tips for a mother, other than if you are a busy mum with a busy life, then my goodness, you need a Boxing Day more than anybody else, and you should make an extra special effort to make it happen. And so I invented a couple of rules and ideas and things to help people get Boxing Day into their life, and one of them was exactly what you said: preparation. You need to prepare in advance as when you're going to have the Boxing Day, and you have to arrange for your husband to take the kids out, make sure that everybody's got, you know, knows what they're doing for breakfast, dinner and tea.
Yep.
And, you know, so basically you clear the decks. You can't just get up in the morning, stand at the top of the stairs and say to the whole household, I'm having a Boxing Day today, leave me alone. That doesn't work. But you can, you know, make sure that, you know, you've got no interruptions or anything like that. Another tip is you don't tell people in advance that you're having a Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Because you'll always get somebody who will remember that you're not...
I want to get involved and you're not welcome.
Yeah. And they're sort of like, they'll say, oh, he's not doing anything and I've got this decorating to be done. And, you know, they'll phone you up. So you don't tell anybody else. You keep it quite secret. And afterwards you can say, I had a Boxing Day, and then tell them why you had a Boxing Day and what it's all about. But before, you keep it a bit of a secret. You know, it's just between you and me.
I think my Boxing Day would be to get up in the morning, I'd probably jump in the car, I'd drive down to a place which is in Worthing, and there's a place called the Sea Lane Cafe, and sometimes, not very often, but I'll get up really, really early on a Sunday, about 6 o'clock, and I'll drive down, I have my breakfast overlooking the sea.
Sounds great.
Mooch about around there, then go on the little pier and have a go on all the little games with you've got some
Sounds
strange
great.
People walking around, and then I just have a little mooch around and just sort of sit and look at the sea. I love being by the sea. It's lovely. You live by the sea anyway, don't you? But I love the English coast. Can't beat it.
You are, though, technically breaking one of the other rules of Boxing Day.
Oh.
Because you're not supposed to prepare Boxing Day in advance.
Well, I didn't know. I set the alarm, and then I get out, and normally I just go, I can't be bothered. And then I just sort of lounge on the sofa, just weeping softly to myself about the things I haven't achieved. And then sometimes I go down to the coast. Is that better?
I mean, do you have Boxing Days? Do you ever?
I do. I like it. I just like sometimes I get out and I can go in the
but
car.
But do you find it hard? Do you find if you get up, you sort of like not really sure what to do? Or you?
No, I've always got stuff to do. I do. I like.
I mean, fun things.
Yeah, fun things. Yeah. I've got a blanket. I don't want to talk about it on here because it's like I sound like some weirdo. But I've got my little blanket.
Have you tested it?
It's silky on one side and furry on the other. And I just sit there wrapped in my blanket.
That
Sometimes
sounds great.
Nice.
Yeah, that sounds
just sort of
great.
Sitting there rocking backwards and forwards.
I think the key to enjoying Boxing Day is to really throw yourself.